Yeah, you must be the only guy in that space that's also somewhat like comedy Hollywood world, right?
Yeah.
You're kind of
But these
it.
motherfuckers can't deal with like they can't deal with like, you know, because they used to these like
Hey,
introverted,
Lila.
hey, what do you what is that all about?
Oh, someone will say I'll talk about the podcast.
Huh?
You don't notice anything different about me?
No, I don't. What? That you don't have clothes on? That's the only thing that I that you're butt ass naked?
Is
that...
These guys thought it would
I didn't
be
think it'd
funny.
make you laugh.
These guys thought it would be funny if I wore lingerie in front of you because
Oh.
of the last member.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
God damn it.
Yeah, you shouldn't have.
God damn it.
Because for,
last episode,
by the way,
like, you want more views? Wear lingerie, Kalila. Scorpion lashes. Wear lingerie.
No, no. That is so taken out of context. That's what pissed me off. That was taken out of context. We were having a funny conversation about this, and then you took it out of context as if I, out of the blue, I went like this. You know what?
That is how you
no,
said it.
No, it is not.
That is how you said it.
No. It was in context in the conversation.
I don't want to
bring the fucking clip up. Bring it up, bitch. Show me the clip.
Well, let's test it out. Let's see if Bobby actually notices. What if
he already did. He was like, babe.
Eric,
baby, I'm right.
Eric Griffin, baby.
Mic drop.
Dang it.
This Tiger Belly Bad Friends fan base is the bane of my existence.
Hey man, we don't control them.
Okay, they're monsters, man. So then it's just like they're coming in my gaming channel and they're just like, oh hey, should I wear some lingerie, Griffin? I'm like, unfucking believable, man.
What are you guys talking about? I would have laughed too. What are you talking about?
Bobby,
hey, Theon.
Yeah, you want more?
Yeah.
So that you know that restaurant owner, Tony Roman.
Tony Roman.
So there's a guy named Tony Roman who owns a restaurant in Huntington Beach. He was just on CNN with Chris Cuomo and Fox.
Yeah, oh,
he's
yeah.
like totally anti-vax. So, but he has a sign outside his restaurant that says, You're not allowed to enter. You have to prove that you are unvaccinated.
How does one do that?
That's funny.
I don't know, but he's doubling down. I love when people that double down.
That's funny.
But I don't even like the other end of that. When I was in New York and Sebastian was there.
Yeah.
And we went into this restaurant where it was like, you had to have your mask. And then we're still sitting outside. They go, when the waiter comes over, you need to put your mask back on.
Mm. Oh, wow.
It's just like, who wants to go there? Like,
yeah.
This, I'm doing that one time and I'm out. You know what I mean? Oh,
I
that's what she does.
There.
Nightmare.
Oh, you want to put some clothes on, babe? Or
I don't. Well, this wasn't my idea, by the way. This was George and Gilbert's fucking master plan, and I feel foolish.
Oh, you should,
baby. Go put some clothes on.
Yeah,
George. Will you get me some shorts, or somebody give me their fucking?
Did you do a double take towards Kalila at all?
Yeah, she's too. I don't want the audience to see her like this. This is my. This
and that's
is my.
I'm keeping this on.
This is my treasure.
And I didn't.
This
even,
is my treasure.
She mad that I didn't have a reaction because I'm like, this is in my mind. This is Bobby's girl.
I wasn't mad that you didn't have a reaction. I was just surprised.
And I have no because like, right now you're like a Charlie Brown teacher. You're just.
Yeah.
I can't even see nothing. I don't even want. I'm trying not to make eye contact with the titties. You know what I mean?
It's like if I was a king, right? Like a king, and I took all my like treasure. And just put it outside the castle for everyone to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I want that shit in my vault.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little bit of backstory for you.
What's so funny?
Put her in a vault?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, put it back. Go back up. Put some fucking clothes on.
A little backstory before I get dressed.
Okay.
Is that Eric advised me once upon a time about 2 years ago that perhaps you'd feel more, I would be more desired overall if I wore lingerie. And then I told him, I was like, no, but I watch the kind of shit that Bobby watches. And there's zero lingerie. And I don't think he's that type of guy. And I'm certainly
First of
not
all,
the
this
type
is still
girl.
Out of context. You start at your part because it makes you look good.
It doesn't make
before,
you look bad.
Before that part, though, she's saying, you know, she's being insecure. Like, Bobby doesn't,
yeah.
you know, Bobby doesn't look at me that way. He doesn't make me feel sexy. He doesn't make me feel. So I'm just saying as a suggestion, well, maybe wear sexy shit. So then she goes on her podcast.
But
she goes on her podcast and she goes,
Sorry.
You know, Eric.
Sorry.
What sound was that?
Because I wanted to bark back, but then I realized that you didn't stop talking.
Yeah.
So then my system shut down.
You thought that he was gonna be like threatened from that?
Babe. Yeah.
So anyway, please continue.
How'd you feel about that bark back?
I don't know what.
I don't know what that was.
And now I understand why the lingerie doesn't work. This is not a normal.
No, I just.
This has never been normal from the beginning. You know what I mean? So what was I even thinking? My apologies.
Okay. I want to say this.
Uh-huh.
The thing is that. Let me say that.
Yeah, yeah.
I find her incredibly sexy.
But she needs to feel that from you.
She does feel it.
Apparently not.
I don't think it's the lingerie that's going to change anything.
But maybe you were mentioning the clothes in the first part.
You see, like, he wants me in like a full, like, linebacker's outfit to be interested in me.
That's right. You know, you're right. You're right.
He likes my broad shoulders. He likes my manly stature.
Okay, no. You're right.
Babe, what are we really saying right now?
What
are we saying?
Yeah, what?
The only thing you're missing is a dick? Is that what we're saying?
Perhaps. You're right,
baby. I don't want to tell you how to dress. So wear what you want to wear that's comfortable for you. Mm-hmm. And if this is how you want to present yourself today, I'm 100% behind you.
Now, this is what George said I should present.
George?
I don't argue with my producer.
Please don't do this.
She's professional.
Again.
You're taking comedy advice?
From.
You're right. Fuck you, George. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
I have someone bringing stuff for you.
Please, at this moment, but in the edit right now, can you play some sexy music as she walks out?
Oh.
Or Benny Hill.
It's Tiger Belly.
There it is. Sweatpants.
Sweatpants and upper half is great.
Her face, or what are you talking about?
Let's start from the top or no?
I know the face.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome. You know, it's so funny because...
You're not going to play any of that other stuff? You have to. That was great.
Yeah, we are.
All right. Sorry.
Bro.
I know. I fucked it up.
This is not...
Roof, roof.
What's that? What?
I'm barking back, bitch. Oh, yeah.
Could you try your bark again?
What did I say again?
How about that one?
Yeah. He did a bum like that. Yeah. It was like a bum.
Yeah. But
yeah.
I didn't get it.
Yeah. No, because I sometimes have these spurts of energy and I want to say something.
Oh.
And usually if it was any other guest, that's how I respect you. If it was any other guest, I would have said it and you wouldn't be able to say what you said.
Got you.
But as I went up, I'm like, I respect, you know what I mean? This comedian.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're very Morpheus-like. Is that racist?
You just made it racist.
It wasn't.
Yeah. Like, when you say it, like, nobody was thinking about it. And then we started to go, is it racist?
Yeah. I
was like, because
it might be racist.
Because, you know, when we just had lunch together before, people want to know the inside scoop of what goes on behind the scenes.
Hollywood.
Yeah, me and Eric, we went into the little Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, great place.
And we talked about some things, and I have to say that... I love you.
Oh, okay.
And
did you feel that?
I
think he could have done better.
Bobby reminds me of like an addict that like has told you so many times they're gonna be clean, and then you have faith, and then they get drunk again. So it's like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's that kind of like you've said this before, and then you've done some shit to me.
No,
so I'm trying to be like, but I thank you, but. How about this? I don't need
I
to say that to you.
I just fucking realized.
Because you know.
I just fucking realized why I say these things, and I realize why I don't back up these things.
What do you
it's
think?
It's because of your reaction afterwards.
Oh, so
right?
Okay.
If so I would just be able to say something get vulnerable in front of you and say something nice, right? And you didn't say anything afterwards, maybe that I could continue that. But you're fucking big.
No, they asked a question.
Fucking...
See how they set me up again? You set me up again. He said that, and I was taking it in. And then she says, oh, did you feel that? What do you think about that? And then I was like, okay, now I have to think about it. And it's like, now it's a different thing. Let's start over. Bobby, you know I love you.
Let me finish.
And I show it with my actions.
Before that.
Okay?
Before that.
Back
right?
to tacos.
Let's start from the top. Go ahead.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You're going to show the other part, right?
Yes, we are.
Boom.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Great. I like your upper half. Did I said that before?
Yeah.
Her face?
And there we go. Your face? Yeah.
And
yeah.
Go bark, bark.
Yeah. We did it. So if you want to know behind the scenes stuff, right?
Hollywood. So Hollywood.
Hollywood. You said Hollywood, right?
Hollywood, right.
Eric and I went to a Mexican restaurant.
Great place, he said.
It is really good.
So we went to and we talked about life stuff. And I realized then that, you know, I don't have a lot of friends, right? But I would consider you one of my best friends.
So it was that hard to get that sentence out?
No, because I don't want to say a lie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I lie a lot.
Yes, you do.
Right? And I deceive and I embellish and I do all these things. And I don't want to do that with this moment.
Okay.
Right? So that's why I was choosing my words, you know what I mean, correctly. And I want to say this is full honesty, right? I consider you a really good friend, and I trust you. Like, let's suppose there's no such thing. Like, one day, show business called me and said, yeah, everything's over. No, there's no such thing as comedy, and everyone has to do something else, right? Then I think that I would probably, you're one of those guys, like if I was working at Home Depot, that I would still like hang out with.
Okay.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
And what aisle are you in Home Depot? What department?
Electrical department. And he works at.
Here we go.
What?
Here it is.
But and
lumber.
No, not lumber. But this restaurant I'm going to say, the name of it, it has nothing to do with you.
Okay.
It's just the restaurant that I think you would work at.
Uh huh.
Fat Sal's.
Yeah. Here we go.
Okay, it has nothing to do with you.
Bobby, between the two of us right now,
I know.
Per capita, you're the fat one, bitch.
I will agree with you. I think pound for pound, you you're got him, babe.
You're the fat one.
I know I am.
Take another look.
I know I am. You know what? Touché, my friend. I am the fat one. And I look in the mirror now, and I do glances. I don't do a lock on. You know what I mean? Like if I'm like in a war and I'm in a jet and you lock onto a plane, I don't do that with my body. I do a drive by, like quick look.
Oh wow.
And then I rationalize. Oh, pandemic, it's fine. Don't lose it. You know what I mean? But it's like it is bad. It's getting bad.
To lose weight.
It's getting bad. Is it getting bad?
I think your health is getting bad. I don't care about your look, but the health is getting bad. Like it takes three steps, he's always out of breath.
Yeah. Well, physique and health are two different things.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I disagree with you.
You're always out of breath.
I've always been out of breath.
Oh.
Well, that's a problem too.
Yeah. Well, that's the smoking and the vaping and.
No, it's just you know, I learned so many life lessons.
Uh-huh.
And I'm so in my mind, I'm so heavy with philosophy and information.
Uh-huh.
It just wears my body down because I'm like kind of a conduit of information.
Is that what makes you tire out?
Yeah.
Intellectual.
I'm like, oh, these numbers and graphs and all these things. Like, think about.
Numbers and graphs.
right. And these algorithms are like,
well, that's why one guy was in the wheelchair, right? Because he was so smart that it just
yeah. But like I saw a documentary last night. You know, YouTube has these free documentaries. And about the I think the documentary was the man with the incredible brain, I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he can like I can't even explain it because it's so but basically he can do like any math equation that you give him, right, he can tell you. Like, you know how it's like you say 12 divided by a certain number, and it's like this long,
mm-hmm.
you know, 10,000 number
He's
thing.
Like, pow, he can just do
he
it.
He knows every number
what's
in the fucking
what's
thing.
What's the practical use of that? Like, is he in Vegas counting cards? No, like, what's he doing?
He probably works for, like, NASA.
No, he doesn't. He just roams around.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a roamer.
It's one of those skills that it's like.
But he know what else he did? He claimed that he can learn any language fluently in a week.
Damn.
I believe that.
So
he's a savant.
So he went to Iceland. Icelandic, I heard, is
which
very
is
difficult.
Really hard.
And he learned it in a week.
Wow, incredible.
He didn't know the language when he got there.
What's he doing with himself?
He's just roaming around town, man.
I imagine he probably has some other like social like.
Does he have money?
He has disability, right? Like he's probably autistic. Right, he probably has difficulty with social interaction.
No, he is autistic, but he, the doctors were fascinated by him because he trained to himself at a young age to act as normal. He forced himself, even though he had these tics and this and that, to socialize.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
He can socialize in any environment, and he What he does now, I think this documentary was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But I assume that he goes to colleges and places, and they put, you know, MIT, and they put things in his brain. He probably works there, or, you know what I mean? But you know what happened?
Maybe 10% more.
He had epilepsy, you know, and he had a seizure or whatever, and he hit his head.
Oh.
Then they gave another example of this black dude, right? Mm-hmm. And he was in Detroit or something, and he was playing baseball, right, with his friends,
mm-hmm.
and a baseball hit his head. He gets knocked out unconscious. Now he remembers every single day. If you tell him what happened, was the weather, 1984, right? This specific day, June 14th, right?
Know it.
He can go, it was cloudy. You know what I mean? He can tell you the fucking, what the weather was in any day.
That would cause me so much anxiety to have to carry that much information in my brain. Like, I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Well, why aren't they studying stuff like that? It seems like they would, like, take him and, like, be like, let's see if we can, like, duplicate this without hitting somebody in the head. I mean, isn't that the goal, is to try to be like our most optimal selves? And like,
but what's optimal? Because I feel as though your brain does a good job of disposing of information that no longer serves you. So it's like, knowing what happened in 1941 on a Tuesday at 10 a.m. is not going to help me today when
I'm
trying
to... Right,
he
got a fucked up power.
Well, what I'm saying...
He got a fucked... You know what I mean? Some mutants, right? Some mutants have a cool power. Like, Colossus is a cool one, but there's probably ones like...
Yeah.
There's one called Dead Girl.
There's X-Men? Dead Girl?
I think there's one called Dead Girl, but she's like... From like X-Men Z, like some younger generation.
What did Mojo
do? She can't die.
Remember Mojo? He was just like a big fat blob. What did he
do?
That's
not Mojo.
Mojo was a big fat
blob. The blob was the blob.
No, go to Mojo on X-Men.
You remember the blob, though.
I know the blob.
Yeah. The movie.
No, Mojo, I had an X-Men card. I have a whole collection.
Mojo? Wow.
This M-O-J-O. A nerdy side of Kalila that we never knew about.
Got stolen.
Is there a Mojo?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mojo. Oh, yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did Mojo do?
Let's see. He is.
Oh my God, Caleb.
Do you want to go through all the?
No, that's all right. It's all right.
I mean, just one thing.
This is riveting.
Yeah. There are powers and abilities. Go down. Mojo is a powerful sorcerer. The full limits of his magical knowledge is unknown. He is also a master manipulator and schemer.
Oh.
Like a New Yorker, basically.
Yeah. He's a New Yorker.
Why does he have to be a blob with that power?
I know.
But you know, his card was very strong. That's how you remember it as a kid.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. If I was an X-Men, I'd get fucked. Like, I would get like my anus would turn into steel, and that's it.
Yeah.
I've said this before?
Yeah, but it's like the fact that it's like you want that to be your power.
A steel anus?
So he can cut off dicks.
So what is the point of that?
That's why. There's no point. So everyone has these powers, right?
All right.
And I'm going like, just, I'm angry and I got it, but it's
steel,
like,
steel anus.
I'm angry,
guy.
I got it, but there's nothing I can do.
No,
they would have to hold you up, you know?
Like, yeah.
It's like a shield, and then your anus would like block things.
Or maybe they have a stick of plutonium. We don't know what to do with it, and they just stick it in here.
I have a use for
it. No cigar night, you know. The guys are hanging out having cigars.
Oh, yeah. They need someone to.
You would bend over, and we would just go click. You would get it, and we'd be like, "Oh, thanks, Bobby."
If you get shot, just turn your anus to the incoming bullet.
Right, but what if it hits my cheek? I'm dead.
Oh, that's the one.
Well, there's a lot of cheek, so I guess it is like
spread wide, babe.
Yeah.
I also had this joke I could never get work, but this was a bit I did.
Oh.
So the other joke was, the other power I would have is I would control ants.
Would that be a great power?
That's a great power.
No, but watch. So like you know, like Sabretooth attacks me,
okay,
right? And I go, stop! He goes, what are you going to do? And me going, they're coming. And we just stand there for like 3 hours. And all of a sudden, you see these ants slowly getting to him.
Well, you're not utilizing ants in the way that they're meant to be utilized.
What do you mean?
Because like, ants are master builders, right?
Yeah.
So I would have them, you can't have them on like a last minute basis. They're not there to help you in that way. They're there to help you set up traps, set up other stuff, build things.
Kalila, in X.
Oh, Well, there is an Ant-Man.
I know there's an Ant, but that's not what I'm talking about. Babe, Kalila.
What?
Right?
The exasperation about this nerdy topic is like so hilarious to me. Like, you're telling this one, oh, you don't get it.
Ants.
Have you not seen an X-Men movie? It's like...
I've seen all of them.
I know, but you know, when action starts, it's happening. There's what? So the guy that can control ants, what?
No, the ant guy would have ants in his belt.
That is,
and do what?
He'd have ants in a backpack, and he would just like open them up, get him.
Yeah.
They would go get him.
That is true. You just have them attached to you already. Why are you still calling onto them?
Yeah, where are they? That you're like.
All right, so Magneto's upright. He's bending steel.
Yeah.
Right. He's 300 feet away, bending steel, right?
Uh-huh.
And I have a backpack full of ants.
Yes.
Giant red ants.
My back is all itchy as fuck.
No, but you...
You're immune to it. You're like an...
Yeah, they don't affect you like that.
I take the backpack, but you know, a Cyclops is looking at me like... He does one of these. Oh, this guy.
Wait.
Wolverine, you brought that guy?
No, listen.
Yeah.
You're not on the field with Cyclops. Like, no, you're...
Who am I? Where am I?
You're at the mansion. You know what I mean? Like, you're the gardener. You're making sure all the ants are...
Just holding... Against
Yeah. You're not...
Oh.
You're ancillary.
You really think that, like, they're going to be like, who are we bringing with us?
On
all
the
right,
field,
Storm,
yeah.
Cyclops.
Yeah.
Professor Xavier.
Yeah.
And then Ant Boy.
Yeah. There's no way.
You're not on that list.
I'm not on the list.
You're not. You know, Rogue wouldn't even touch you to take your power.
That's true. That's
super annoying.
Yeah, that would be true. Yeah. What power would you have, you think?
I don't know. Probably some nose power, something like power of
smell. Oh, that's good.
That is a real superpower.
I know, but it would be terrible.
You've never seen that before Have you seen that?
No.
That's interesting.
No, but those are real things. Like, super smellers are a real thing that medical researchers use. Like, if you are somebody that has a very keen sense of smell, you are likely able to predict early onset Parkinson's and other major diseases.
Right, so you're basically what you are, right? You roam around the mansion, right? And you smell like Wolverine.
I find things.
And then you go, yeah, you have a tumor. And Wolverine's like, really?
He's a good doctor.
Yeah, good doctor.
You're basically just a bloodhound.
Yeah.
You're a bloodhound.
And I always know when somebody farts and it's the worst.
Like, people come up to you and it's like, I can't find my ham sandwich. Right? And then you're like walking around the mansion. You left it on the, you know what I mean? Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah, right there.
Like, we would be that would be the terrible duo. Sniffy and Ant
Ant Boy?
No, and Iron Hole.
Iron
Hole? Oh, that's the anus thing.
That'd be Sniffy and Iron Hole.
Iron
Hole. Iron Hole.
Yeah. No. It's funny how the culture's changed that much where, you know, before, even I remember a time when I was doing stand-up and on Mad TV where it was just completely okay. There was no question in my mind that doing an accent would be, you know, backwards or wrong and this and that, you know.
Now before they play Mad TV, they got to have like a disclaimer.
Yeah. You know right,
I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
it's the
views expressed back then, this was okay to be stereotypically whatever.
Yeah, I mean to see these kids come up to me and go, "Man, I can't believe you had to do accents back then." And it's like, "What?" It's like, "What?"
Right.
How is that bad?
Yeah. Wow.
Back then.
Oh, back
and
then.
The funny thing is, if they're doing an accent.
you know what I mean? Yeah.
It's like who are you sounding like right now? Like, what is this you're doing?
Is there something that you wouldn't do as a black guy? I remember
a buddy of mine. We had this sketch group, and you know, we were doing this thing where we were like Power Rangers. Okay, and it was like. But and then we were stopping a thief, and my buddy of mine, who's my buddy Jeff, he's black. We asked him to be the thief, and he said no. Back then, this was like late 90s.
Wow.
And he was like, no, I'm not going to be. Why do I have to be the thief?
Right.
They were like, well, we also need a Yellow Ranger, and he was like, I'll be Yellow Ranger, and he grabbed the outfit and put it on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just that kind of stuff. So I mean, I don't know. I don't think about it like that. My first thought is like, what's the artistic integrity in this?
Yeah.
And if there is some, then I'll do it. But like, if it just feels like, why are we doing this? You know, if you know when something's like, ugh, this don't make me feel right. I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Because
it's like, especially a lot of like the roles that you get. Does he need an accent? Probably not. Nothing would change in the storyline.
Well, I got offered a pretty big movie. I'm not going to say what it was. Have I talked about it?
A little bit.
Sort of. Yeah. Sort of. Yeah.
I'll take say it again.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. I don't. And it was an accent, and I couldn't believe I turned it down, because there was a part of me that's still like, you know what I mean, 1990s Bobby. I mean, who would have sucked their dick for that part?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like a real struggle, because I just know for the people and our image and who we are as a people now, it's not right to do it. But they're still like...
Well, here's what I find the funniest. You do a terrible Asian accent. Like in The Dictator, you were so funny, but you were in and out of the accent. You went back to being, you know, an American from Poway, California. So it's like...
I like how she had to say that funny part first just to soften all this part.
No, because I honestly genuinely think that's one of the funniest shit you have ever done.
Yeah.
But it's like they're forcing you into this thing that you can't even do because you're American.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like I don't even get... Like, I don't even get why that's a thing now. Like, Asian Americans have been here so long, I don't know anyone that talks like that. Like, whoever talks like that is, they're in Korea. They're in China.
Yeah.
They're not here.
Yeah.
No one here knows anyone like that. So I still don't get why Hollywood is like, yeah, put on this accent. For who? Who's that for?
And even, like, the Japanese dudes that are from Japan... that I see here, they kind of have their own thing almost.
Yeah.
Yo, what going on, dude? What's going on? What's up, brah? You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, shit, that's like a combination thing.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, you listen to a lot of rap music.
Yeah, yeah. There's like something like, Jamaican thing going on there. Like, I love it. I love it. You
know what I mean? It's so bizarre.
But
man.
They even like kind of probably look in the mirror and go, I don't want to sound like that, like old school.
Whatever that even is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah, like, bro. What going down, bro?
I mean, it's like Hollywood
chilling,
was so laced.
Chilling, dog.
Hollywood was so laced with like race stuff for so long.
Yeah.
It's a funny joke.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually pretty good.
That was a good one.
What?
That whatever combo you did.
I like the combo.
Terrible. Uh-oh.
No, I would probably do that in a movie. Like if that would be the compromise, I go, can I just do my own weird version that no one, and if they go,
But that's why. But check it out. That's when you would audition.
What?
That's when you would audition. That'd be the only reason to audition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They go to you, well, we want you to be this, and here's the kind of accent we want you to do. Can we see you do this and be serious at the same time?
Yeah.
Then you go, okay, let me work on this. You know, like Tarantino is going to ask you to do some shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to go to his house and sit on his couch, and he's like, okay, do it. You know?
Yeah.
The only time I've ever heard you nail a hybrid Asian accent is when you were not meant to do an accent of an Asian man, but you auditioned for a pirate role. And they were like, play a pirate. And then all of a sudden you were a fucking, like you had full Asian accent. I was so confused.
I know, because I think the pirate element.
Yeah.
I think.
You had to watch him do that.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I think next time I do an Asian accent, I'm going to do it as a pirate.
Full pirate.
Full pirate. And I think I'll be able to sell it.
You know what? That's very interesting. Like, were there Asian pirates?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Oh, my dad's ship got pirated.
What I'm saying is like, what was that like? Because we always think pirates are like the stupid hat with the fucking thing. And then they're like, you know, I matey. Like, what were the Asian pirates? Like, you know, what was that? That's the movie you need to make.
Like,
What were they? What were their thing? I don't even know.
Yeah, yeah. Captain.
Hello.
Look up Asian pirates, Gil, back right in the day.
And you know, if I had,
but make sure back in the day is not 1980.
We have variations. We have
what?
We have
more
like this style.
Okay.
Let's look at the history.
They were not that hot. Okay, I'm sorry.
But there's the modern day Asian pirates guy.
Yeah, those are the ones that did my
those are cool.
Dirty.
This is probably more Johnny Depp.
Yeah, this is like
like
Genghis
that.
Khan.
Genghis, yes, exactly.
Pirate.
Right?
Yeah. That's cool, man.
I think that the Asian culture comes across as more honorable. That maybe there wasn't
the
pirate life.
Or pellagra, or what is that
right?
disease that they get?
Oh. I don't know.
Not scabies. Scurvy. Yeah.
Because maybe that was going on and all that, like the samurais and all that kind of stuff was going on. Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, you think you know stuff about certain culture and you realize there's so much of it that is just never exposed because we only have this narrow view of things. And it's like the Asian culture for Americans is always the same shit. It's like I said, ninjas, samurais,
Kung Fu masters.
Yeah.
You know, that's like when I was a kid, my only exposure to anything Asian was Black Belt Theater on Saturday mornings with you know, after the cartoons.
Yeah.
And I would love that shit. The Five Deadly Venoms.
Oh, Five Deadly Venoms.
Venoms was the shit. The Toad and the fucking Scorpion. And
yeah.
I loved all that shit, dude. But that was it.
Yeah, because it's like, and also imagine growing up in like suburbs. I'm Asian. Yeah. Right? And all the kids are watching that kind of stuff, right? And it's like, and I'm like, you know, listening to like punk rock.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And doing my thing, right? It has nothing to do with who I am. And so, but then when you go out in the world, you know, your white friend will come up to you and go, hey, hiya, ha, buddy, gotcha. I was watching, you know, that shit Sunday, man. You know, buddy. Well, hoya, toya. You know what I mean? And they'll come up to you and do that stuff. And you're like, whoa, dude, that fucking hurt. Don't do that again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What are you doing, right? Or it's like, you know, you walk into a classroom and your other friend will go, hey, everybody, well, watch Bob's coming in, right? You walk in, they go, gong. Right, and they'll all go, na 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 na.
Right,
and they laugh, and I have a mohawk. You know what I mean?
You're American. Listening to the Clash.
Yeah, I have a Susie and the Bashy shirt.
I know you got a pocket going, full of meth.
Yeah. I'm going. What the fuck is this?
Yeah,
and like you live in this world.
Here's my question for you, Bobby. So up until recently, like making fun of Asian people was kind of like. Like, it wasn't looked at the same as how you would make fun of anyone else. Like, it was kind of like the easy one, and because it was, like, non-threatening in a way. It was like, you know, and then you kind of think the idea is, like, Asians are doing okay. They got their own towns and shit right here, in you know. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to be like, you know, Asians got a little dick or Asian this and Asian that. But I feel like there's been a real big culture shift now that it's like – it's on the same level now as making a black joke or making a, you know what I mean? Making a Jewish joke.
I think a lot of the younger generation just isn't putting up with it anymore. Like, isn't that what it is? Like,
you know, I'm about to bring up a topic that's a little uncomfortable, but I have to bring it up. Is, you know, I've been struggling with what happened to Tony.
Uh-huh.
Hinchcliffe. Mm. Have we talked about it? I don't think we've
talked about
it. We've never addressed it yet.
And I've been literally struggling with it because on one hand, I understand what he was doing. Did you see the video?
Yes. And did you see the whole video? Did you get the full context of the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay, because I have my opinion on it myself too.
Yeah. My opinion is, you know, I saw a comic, a friend of mine, a male comic who's straight, bring up a gay guy on stage the other night. And go one more time for the
F word.
The F word.
Yeah.
Right? And they both laughed, right? And then the gay comic will say something about the straight comic. You know what I mean? Yeah, that guy sucks dick. Or whatever it might be, right?
Yeah.
They have a rapport, right? And there's a culture there. It's like, you know, I've done it. Like, I used to have Doc Willis open for me sometimes. And I would say something like, Gary Coleman, you thought he was dead, but he's not. You know what I mean? Whatever. And then he says something back, and it's just a part of, like, that thing, and I think that that with what Tony went through, right? There's a lot of that in there, right?
Because they know each other.
They know each other.
But it was presented as if he was some random Asian comic.
Random Asian guy.
That he didn't even know.
He's opened up
and he just did that. No. That's what I took offense to that.
Yeah. Well, you took offense to what?
I took offense to how that was blown out of proportion against Tony.
Yeah.
Now, you know, in this culture, it's like, all right, do you really think that was the way to do that? But even still, that's his style. The roast battle, the kill Tony, the stuff that happens during that thing, that guy is a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was doing hacky-ass jokes about white people before that. That was the context of why he was saying.
Yeah, and that's why it got the laugh that it did.
That's why people laughed.
Right. I struggle with it.
I get it, though.
I struggle with it because I also am like, you know, I'm very pro-Asian. And I also grew up in comedy where I was bullied a lot in terms of, in the 90s, I was the only one at the clubs, right? So I would get a lot of like white, is this not interesting to you?
No, it's super interesting.
Oh, yeah. You were drifting apart. Thank you.
Can I get a Kleenex while we're in this little
room? You got booger. So I was like in the 90s, I was, you know, you would have comp.
No, bitch, I got
allergies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have a Benadryl if you want.
You would have comics say to your face, yo, man, Asians aren't funny. Get out of here or whatever. Right. You had that kind of sentiment. Right. And it's like, so I I'm the type of guy that like when that happens, I don't give up. I go, I'll show you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'll get it. Yeah. You'll see, you know. So, you know, I get both sides, but I think in Tony's case, it was more of a comedy thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And a culture and I get when people that aren't in comedy see just certain clips of that where it could look like real. And at first, I didn't see the full thing. I just saw one little, I didn't know their
relationship.
So I was mad. Bro. Yeah. I was livid. But now that I've like kind of explored it and understood it, right? I go, you know what? I'm giving Tony.
Well, it's layered, man.
It's layered.
It's layered because there's many different points in here. One, that shouldn't have been recorded and released. Okay. So yeah, that was some clout chasing bullshit right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did he okay? have someone in the crowd do that?
Yes.
He had his friend.
Okay. So that's the number one. The fact that it was released. But when something, if we're having a conversation, like even some of the stuff we were talking about before we were on air for this, mm-hmm. if that somehow got released, we know we don't mean bad, but we would have to apologize for when things get out, it gets out. So you have to apologize for that because of how it makes people feel.
Right.
Mm. Okay. So that's that part of it. The other part of it is like that kid put that out in a way that made Tony look like he didn't even know him.
Yeah.
And he just did this out of the blue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's why it all went away, because when the full context came out, all of a sudden, all that talk about we got to cancel him and this is terrible.
Also, but I just want to say this is all of it, right? The performance, when we podcast and we do live shows and stuff, right? It's a show.
Word.
Yeah.
It's just a show. People take it literally. They pick it apart, this and that. We're just trying to entertain people.
And by the way, and even on that line, in that vein, I think the problem with podcasts is, you know, people think they know you because of this.
Yeah.
And you especially, Bobby, you're so vulnerable and open on these things. And then there's so much of it that is like your performance, and so much of it is like it blends together. So these fans think they know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They think they know. So then, like, anything we've had, like when we have like where people think it's a beef.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
there's no beef.
There's no beef. So all day on my damn Twitch,
yeah,
I gotta get people every day. Oh, this is why Bobby doesn't play with you. This is why Bobby.
Yeah,
it's so bad. I have to have a command. It's a command Bobby. So my mods know. So when somebody asks about Bobby, command Bobby comes up and it goes. It goes, here's where you could DM him.
Yeah, your moderator set
that up. I had my moderator set it up because I'm just trying to put out there to people is like, they don't know. And I tell people, you're not privy to our relationship all the time. Like, they weren't with us for an hour sitting at the taco place having a good talk.
Yeah,
they don't need to know everything. But the thing is, they think they know everything because of this.
That tiny bits and pieces, yes. Not the whole picture.
Not the whole picture.
But also that version of us, because we talked about it even.
Yeah.
At the taco place, it's like if they recorded that conversation and put it up, people would just rip it apart and go, fuck, this is so boring. Right?
I know.
Oh, right? It's the most boring thing.
It's innocuous.
We still fell asleep at lunch. It was just falling asleep because we listened to each other. Because we're literally talking about like real things,
real
about
life
and feeling and this and that, right? And then we come up here and everything's like a show.
Boom, we gotta like, show. I gotta.
Yeah. It's a show. Yeah.
It's not.
Shit ain't real, bitches.
It's not real.
Ala doesn't wear lingerie.
This is a fucking show.
No. It's a show. It's a show. Baby, please.
It's a show.
Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry. It's a what?
It's a show.
There's the new Tiger Belly meme right there.
Yeah.
This is honestly...
Put it on hip hop though. It's a shut.
But this whole thing that I'm doing now is a good comparison to what you just said, which is like, this shit is not real. Like, Krusty Kalila is real.
That's real for real.
Like, that's real, but we're going to put on a different version of ourselves and exaggerate and embellish. And honestly... It does get us in trouble once in a while, but I hope to God people have common sense to know that it's like, it's just not real.
You know what, though? I agree with you. We want people to have common sense. But what I enjoy about this platform is I don't give a fuck. Because you know why? We get to come back the next episode and say some more stuff about it. And if we need to talk about it again, we can keep doing it. Yeah. So the people that are like, ooh, I can't believe they said this, we can come back and go, don't take me out of context.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, we get a chance, an opportunity to like continue the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why podcasting is the best. And that's why it can't be stopped. Because all those like cancel culture trolls and all that stuff, they're going to keep trying to come. And we're just going to be like,
Yeah, but it's funny because I have a lot of comics though who didn't do the podcast thing that say to me, you know that thing's going to die eventually.
Podcasting?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They get like, they kind of
think it's Betamax?
You got it in right around the right time. If I got into it right now, because it's going to die in a couple years anyway, you know what I mean? And you're like, and they try to like kind of dig at you, like, you know, and it's like, I don't think so.
But also, it's like,
and if it does, it does. But
who's to say we're not going to jump on the next form of media in our own way?
Yeah,
you know, like
George, get on it, whatever the next one is.
Yeah.
But you know, exactly, man. But I say, you know what? The thing we have to get to a point as we've gotten older, Bobby, is like, we don't need, like, when we're right, we don't need these people to say we're right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We just need to be okay with being right, and that's the hardest thing to do.
You're gonna make me cry right now.
I'm just saying.
You've been saying some Morpheus shit today, man.
That's a good point. That was very Morpheus.
Some Morpheus shit today, man. For me, like, you know, I like Morpheus shit, you know, and it's like, you've been very clear today, even at the little lunch that we had. But you're right. You're absolutely right.
And just for the record, I will say that I can guarantee you he was the nicest guy to you at lunch. There was no roasting. There were no fat comments. None of that. Yeah, because that's who he is. But he cannot.
It's hard. But you know what? It's hard. What I realized today at lunch is we don't do that enough.
All right.
Because when I do see you, you have to be on. It's like at the comedy.
He's
in the hallway, and it's like Bobby. Got to be Bobby.
That's what we
hallway Bobby.
But that's what we fucking.
You guys know about hallway Bobby?
Oh, I know hallway Bobby.
Hallway Bobby is a motherfucker. Dude.
I'm fucking mean.
Hallway Bobby. Yeah. Like, hey, so mean. Hey, fatty. You know.
I know, but I'm so mean, but. But it's all a defensive mechanism, right? It's like don't get to know me. Don't get to know me. I'm scared. I'm vulnerable.
Yeah.
You're just a bunch of shit I'm going to say.
I'm still here.
You're still here. But what I was saying.
Some credit.
But at lunch, we were talking about that we need to do more of this because it's like, you know, I'm not this. I mean, I'm an exaggerated version of who I am. There are obviously elements of me, you know what I mean, that people see, right? And that's why when I go on the road and I meet fans, and a lot of fans, they do, I know them, podcast fans, deeper than any other medium that I've ever done.
I know your podcast fans deeper than
any.
Motherfucker, I've been in Canada. And people come up to me after the show, and they got Tiger Belly shirts on, and they're just like, "Oh, what's up, Griff?"
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And they take pictures like, "We'll do a podcast with you."
Yeah. We should get a percentage of that fucking money, bitch.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is like, is something special about it.
Yeah.
But it is also there's an element of toxicity to it. But you know, you get the good with the bad. It's a double edged sword, and we'll take all that because it's been very, you know, they're very. It's amazing the fan base.
Yeah, I was in Brooklyn last week, and I was just walking. I had a piece of pizza in my hand, and this bunch of kids just drove by me, and they were like young kids, and they all rolled down their window, and they go, they didn't get out. They go, "You're so disrespectful," like that,
so
right?
Scared,
and they start laughing, and they just drove away.
Yeah,
and I had a tough week last week, man, and I walked down the street with the pizza, and I was just like, I needed that. Because it wasn't fans. Yeah. It was like kids that got it. They know the lingo.
Yeah.
Right? They kind of know me, right? And it's just it's a different connection, you know?
But that's the thing, too, though, that is like good and bad about it. Because that's what I'm saying. It's like, because I'll have people, I'm telling you, people walk up to me all the time, and they'll just be like, man, why is Bobby so mean to you? Like, I get that. All the time, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they'll say some shit like, "Bobby's not really your friend, man. Why do you?" And I just go,
right.
And I gotta say, I say it on my stream all the time. I go, "You don't know him. You don't know us."
Okay,
You know what I mean?
Stop. I got it right here.
I'm just going to add one thing.
Exhausting.
If there's one adjective.
It is exhausting.
If there's one adjective that really encompasses who he is outside of performance, is the word harmless. He is the most harmless, simpiest, sweetest dude ever. Outside, when the cameras are off, when it's not hallway Bobby, he is just a sweet, harmless man.
I'm quiet.
Yes.
I'm a quiet little bitch. At home?
I know. Well, the only way to see that is you have to look on Kalila's feed. You know, then you catch Bobby crying at a documentary.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm just
and then you're just like, who the fuck is that?
Weird hallway guy.
So sensitive and soft.
But like ugly crying, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I'd be like, oh my God.
It was a
Cambodian
reunion.
Oh, did you see that? On
your face.
Have you seen that?
Yes, mate, I haven't seen that.
You will
just give me a list of things. You know I'll watch.
You will cry.
Yeah. I'm all about
on
crying.
On YouTube. Have you seen it? No. Oh, my God. In fact, I want to play
Dude,
it.
I cried at the end
after
of Black
Widow.
I cried really at the end long. Of Black Widow. What are you talking about?
Hey.
Why?
I liked it. You didn't like it?
I loved Black
Widow. Love that movie.
No, I thought that moment that they shared, the sisters, that made me cry. I was like, all that they've been through, they have no uterus. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
all the
cool.
shit. And
I was cool,
like,
yeah.
And she like admitted that this was my real family. I thought that was touching. I love that.
But you know what's weird too?
I want to feel.
But you know that she is dead in the universe.
I know, but this movie came after
Civil War.
After Civil War.
I know, but that's what made me feel sad about the whole movie too. Oh. Is knowing that she's dead in the.
You know, she's suing Disney.
Yes.
Big time suing Disney.
Big time
suing. For and they're going after her. They're trying to trash her in the media, and they need to stop that.
Because they released it on the same day, right? On
yeah,
Disney and the theater.
Her money is tied to back end on the thing, and so they already put it out, you know, on the thing, and then she's like, "Yo, yeah, I got $20 million, but I'm trying to make that dude money. I want that. I want Tony Stark money.
Robert
I want that
Downey,
$68
yeah.
million money.
Yeah,
I want that Robert Downey money. Because that movie, let me tell you something.
Yeah,
just real quick.
Yeah,
what is missing from a lot of movies that. This wasn't a movie that just happened to have women in it interacting with men. This was an action movie starring women. And it's what a lot of action movies I realize now are missing. Because there was something about that the interactions and the heart and with all that action shit that I was like, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They nailed it.
They nailed it.
But you know what also nailed it? Quiet Place 2.
I
killed it.
Bro.
So good.
At the end of Quiet Place 2, when the kids are fucking like having their moment, mm-hmm. and you can see that this is the father in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I was like, this is
just got
fucking awesome. I loved that part in the movie.
But it's not just that part though. Amazing part. The pacing of it, bro. It's when to choose to do certain things.
Oh, how about you? I know what you mean too.
Let's not give away anything. All right.
When they go silent or the deaf
yes.
girl. Oh, what a great device.
Oh,
what a great device.
So good.
I can't watch that kind of movie around Rachel around.
You know, when I was in Hungary, when I was in Hungary,
I'm like, bitch, be quiet. It's the quiet part.
When I was in Hungary and I ran into him. At the Nobu.
Krasinski?
John Krasinski.
Oh, shit.
Right? And I made a fool out of myself because I tried to act too cool. I wish I had seen the movie, right? Because this is what I would say to him now if I saw him. Hey, dude, it's such a big pleasure to meet you, man. And I honestly, dude, I'm a huge film buff. I'm very picky, too.
Very.
Your movies, The Quiet Place, one, and two, dude, are just flawless. And you're a legitimate director. I would put you up there with
Storyteller.
I would put you up there with J.J. Abrams. I would put you up there with Jordan. I mean, these performer actors now directing shit. My God, what? You got to be next.
You know what? Can I tell you something? Different time frame. I think he wins an Oscar for the first Quiet Place.
Yeah.
But the world was different at the time.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have you have the black guy wins for the horror movie.
Yeah.
On the heels of, you know, Oscar's too white and all this stuff going on. So it's kind of like they go, this was great, but we can't give another white guy. I think he is a victim of that. You know what I mean? Not to say that it deserved it.
John Krasinski is a young man still, right?
He got time.
He's got a lot of time.
Were they going to continue that series?
Oh, they have to.
They have
and didn't you love how they started? And I loved how he brought himself still back into it.
That's genius.
You know, I was like, yeah. Oh, good for yeah. you. Like, it's going to the beginning.
Yeah, genius.
And it's like the monsters are scary, and it's just
they're
like...
interesting monsters. They're very, very detailed.
Yeah, man.
And
Emily Blunt is just... dude, when she's looking at her son for the mm-hmm. first time, when she's looking at her son at the end, I saw her thinking... Oh my God, my little pussy ass boy is becoming a man.
No.
That's the moment, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, she had that moment of like, he's gonna do it, you know? You know
that,
what I mean?
That girl is fucking talented.
Oh.
Yeah.
She has all of it.
I love her. Jessica Chastain is my other favorite.
I love her, yeah.
Like she
she's great.
Those are the ones, man.
Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah. Or the chick from, I Am Good or Be Good or. It was that Netflix movie, the one where she was like taking advantage of old people. Rogan even talked about it. I Am Good or I Like to Be Good.
She's from the other one, Ratchet, too. Sarah Pauly.
Boom.
I love Sarah Pauly.
Those three, like, I don't care what the material is. If you're a great actor that can really delve into, like, whatever it is, that's why Robert Downey Jr., that's what makes the Avengers so great. Like in Endgame, when he's all skinny and he's mad at Captain America, mm-hmm. that scene right there, I was like, that motherfucker is an actor, man.
Dude, he's always been an actor, but don't even fucking front.
I know, but what I'm saying is like they've changed the landscape of like, you know, thanks to Batman Begins, by the way. Christopher Nolan changed superhero movies forever with Batman Begins.
Yeah.
Because he made it a real movie at that point. All right?
Yeah.
And ever since then, you get these, like, really fantastic actors and performances. So no matter what it is. So now you got, like, Krasinski with this, like, horror movie genre. And they're giving, like, their all, man. Those performances in those two movies, one and two, him, her, the kids.
Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
Ooh. He was great in it.
Mm. Oh, my God.
I know you want to suck his dick.
Oh, more than that.
Penetration?
His steel anus.
Yeah, but I'm curious, though. I'm curious, though, just to throw it out. Like, Kalila's at Starbucks, and this guy, he just comes through, and he's like, hey, you know, kind of a Tiger Belly fan. I know that seems weird. I heard
Irish accent.
I heard what you said about... Would you like to suck my dick? You know, whatever he would say. I mean, is there a moment that you'd be like, would you call him?
No, he would let me.
Let's talk about reality.
Yeah, okay, let's go.
All right, this is not show business.
Because this is a reality. This could happen. This guy could be sitting right now listening and they're like, damn.
There's only one way.
She got that lingerie on?
Cillian Murphy.
Cillian.
What?
Cillian.
That's what I said. Cillian Murphy. Mm-hmm. From the bottom of my heart, you can get your juices sucked out by my girlfriend via your penis, right? I don't know why I just said that.
Yeah, like, where
else would it come from?
I got nervous. What? Because I think
his eyeball?
I'll suck his ass juices, too.
Oh, baby. Oh.
I would.
Babe.
Take a look at this. You don't think I
Cillian,
can?
Cillian Murphy. All right.
Just look at him.
Yeah. Cillian.
Oh, I didn't know it was
Tommy
like that.
Tommy Shelby.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I got a little
honestly, Cillian, you can have sex with my girlfriend. You can have do whatever you want with her, and there's not going to be an ounce of jealousy or anger or anything. But because that gives me
we get it.
But that gives me a free pass.
Yeah, but your free pass is going to be like Julie at CVS down the street. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Fight you. No, I'm going to highbrow it.
No, it's, you know, he has a woman at Walgreens, in the old Walgreens on Western.
See, I knew it. I knew it was something like that.
Who is in love with you.
She's 90, babe.
I know, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, come ages. On. That's actually very,
here's my thing.
That's messed up of you.
If I were to talk about hall passes, it would never be with someone like, because it burst the fantasy. Like, he met one of my hall passes, and mm-hmm. after they became friends, I was like, oh, the fantasy is gone. Like, I don't want there to be.
Good move.
Yes.
People are going, well, Bobby Lee will never meet Cillian Murphy. I think I could.
Yeah, you could.
I think I could. I think I could work with him, and I think I can develop a friendship.
Yeah, and send her a selfie.
Fuck it up.
You know who my number two is?
Who?
Just throwing it out there. It's Mahershala Ali.
Write that down. Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala.
Mahershala Ali.
Who's that?
He's going to be the new Blade.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. You want to go that with it. You want to go dark, dark.
I like love Mahershala. Yeah, yeah. So
he's old, too.
But again, if...
Oh...
If you befriend him, it's over.
This would be.
I don't want it
anymore. Bobby has a problem with this. He would. This
no,
would
I have
problem.
No. What are you talking about? Yeah. I won't look at the picture, but I don't have a problem.
I think his dick has a Wikipedia. So you know.
have you been watching the Olympics at all?
No, dude. I can't get into it.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's because of COVID and everything, and just
it feels
being like,
different, right?
It just feels different. I don't feel this like need to be like, you know, just America and all that. And I don't know.
I feel the same way. You know, and I'm super like, I am an Olympic freak.
Yeah. Especially the summer games. I love it. You get the gymnastics and then the whatever.
Well, my thing is like
swimming. And
I feel as though a lot of this, like so many weird outcomes in this Olympics because a lot of these athletes don't have their family and support system there. So I feel like so much of it is like a mental, it's overcoming a whole lot of mental stuff rather than just like going off physical prowess.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I feel bad for these people.
And they got too much shit going on. They got all this woke culture stuff going on.
Yeah.
And then you got the transgender athletes. So people are dealing with that and how that makes people feel. And it's all so nuanced and layered that it's just like, ugh, you know, who wants to deal with all that?
But I am staying up at 2 a.m. to watch Simone Biles on Beam today.
Oh, wow.
I thought that she's back in.
She only for the final one. She had the twisties all.
The twisties.
Yeah. No, that's actually a real thing, man.
I love when fat people like you do the twisties.
Yeah. She doesn't mean Twizzlers. You know, so it's like, yeah, I didn't know about that. Because I was actually on another podcast, and we were kind of like, not belittling her, but it's kind of the thing of like, why are you quitting? You're like, it's a pressure. But, you know, you don't know that it's some little fact like that. It's like, this happens to gymnasts who work themselves to the bone like that.
And also, like, just the gymnast culture has been toxic for so long. You had Carol Lee, those coaches back in the day, Larry Nassar, forcing these kids, basically working them to the bone. Like, I don't know if you guys remember Carrie Strug. I think it was like the 1996.
Yeah, I remember Carrie Strug.
That girl, the fear in her eyes, because he told her she had to do a final one, even though she had already hurt herself. And everyone
the one that she did the foot, she hurt her foot, and they had to carry her.
Carry out, yeah.
She landed it. She was already hurt.
That was insane.
Yeah.
She landed on one foot, right?
Yeah, but okay, there are still, that's all perspective. Because like, if it's a coach that like, knows what this person ultimately wants is to have that moment of having that gold medal versus you didn't do it and maybe you didn't get hurt and you're fine. I mean, there is something about pushing someone to their limit.
Yes, but if it wasn't the Carolees, I would believe that. But they had a long history of being very abusive and pushy with these young kids, like 15, 16-year-olds. Yeah. A lot of these kids didn't feel like they had the choice. And so, like, when it comes to that, it's like the world, the gold medal isn't worth my long-term well-being ever.
Or they changed their mind, which kids do. Like maybe at 14, they were like, yeah, I want to be a gymnast. And then it was like at 15 and a half, they were like, this is bullshit. I want to go do something else. But at that point, you know, money has been spent and things have been invested.
Well, that's what Simone Biles said. She was like, this isn't fun for me at all. Like, there isn't a Usain Bolt. There isn't a Michael Phelps. All eyes are on her. Yeah. It's been a fucking weird year. My family is not here. I have vertigo.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that.
Yeah.
Like, she should just be allowed to not do it and still be celebrated. Because honestly, who is better than Simone Biles? Nobody.
Yeah. Are you guys, let me ask in the room. Would you rather have a coach like this? Focus. You have to fucking do it, all right? We've practiced way too long for this, right?
Uh-huh.
Get your head in the game. Or would you want this? I just want you to have fun, right? Do the best you can. Listen, we're just having all fun right here. What do you want?
Let me answer this question this way. I've coached before.
Coach what? Bowling team?
I've coached basketball.
Oh.
Girls volleyball. I've coached a lot of things. You see how he has to? He's back, everybody. Hallway Bobby.
Hallway Bobby.
Hallway Bobby.
No.
Hallway Bobby. Welcome to the show. Hi, I'm Hallway Bobby. There's Fatty. There's Fat Face. There's
But tell me the sports that you coached again.
Basketball.
Well, hilarious.
And volleyball.
Hilarious.
Can you go to my Instagram?
No, don't go to the Instagram.
I have a picture of myself in high school, man.
We have to end this fucking podcast.
Very athletic.
Do not go there, Gilbert. Do not.
But that's just, how do you feel when people say they don't believe you're a wrestler or played tennis?
Well, I can believe he was a wrestler.
I am sorry.
Fat sumo wrestler.
You're right. You know what? You're right.
Hallway, Bobby.
All right, let's go. All right, let's go back to the Terry's Bobby.
No.
The real Bobby.
Terry's Bobby.
Let me just say this. Let me just say this.
Go back.
Okay, let me just say this, all right? It's case by case, okay? There are kids that I've coached in the past where I know that this person can handle it. They can handle the pressure. Some people shine under pressure. Some people crack. As a coach, you got to know the difference. Mm-hmm. You don't treat everybody the same because mm-hmm. they're not the same. Your star athlete is somebody you could be like, your mama should have never had you with that defense you're playing. And they'd be like, I get you, coach. Another one you got to be like, hey, you could, don't worry about it. You know, wipe that one off. Now, I'll say this too. I've coached boys and I've coached girls. Girls, they are different, man. Like with girls, you can't yell at girls in the way that you can yell at guys, in my experience. But maybe you can. It just, again, it's case by case. But I always knew this with girls. You didn't have to yell at them. You just had to look at them and go, I'm really disappointed in what you just did. Super yeah. disappointed. I said that to her. I'll never forget this girl. She was volleyball, and she was trying to do this bump on the wall. You know what I mean? That's, you had to do as many times as you can. You got to get to 100 was the thing. And she couldn't do it. And I just said to her, that was disappointing. I'm telling you, she was at that fucking wall, and she tried to do it till she can get it. And I was like, all right, that's how you get her. That's how you get the best out of her.
Mm. Yeah.
So I'm just saying, it just depends. Even you, Bobby, and we're the same this way. Like, if somebody tells us you're not funny, or somebody tells us, oh, yeah, well, you're not going to make it in this thing, that is the thing that gets me going. Like, I got in at the Comedy Store because Tommy was trying to tell me that I wasn't funny.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, bitch, there ain't anybody in this building that I think is funnier than me.
Yeah.
And I had to go in there and make everybody say it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's me. You could yell at me.
Yeah.
You could be like,
I can't have a time period. Like, I'm like that, but I play the long game. Right. So it's like if somebody hurts me now, right?
Yeah.
And then I don't retaliate, people go, you know, that person's like, I got a good one. You know what I mean? I'm 8 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, your tires are slashed.
Yeah. No, Bobby's at, he's got like a, he's got a room.
He's got
a room with the yarn, you know, facing, you know what I mean? He's got a picture of his, like, you know, barista that he goes to all the time.
Yeah. No, I have dudes, this is sad, but I have some guys that I steal from like 12 years ago, I haven't gotten back.
Oh, well.
Yeah, and I am going to get them back.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah. I know who they are. I know where they are.
Sometimes you gotta let shit go.
I'm guerrilla warfare type chick.
She is a fucking a maniac.
I know.
I
saw on her podcast when she went after me.
Played a clip?
By the way.
Cut to, you know.
I'm guerrilla warfare. I'm like slow burn too. It's like I'll get you in other ways, in ways you don't even know you're getting got.
Yeah, this whole relationship is her slow burning you.
You feel like you got, babe?
No.
5 years from now, when she has, like, you know, she has all your money in a fucking, she's giving it to a cat shelter.
That's so true, though.
Wait,
yeah, that's how it'll be. She ain't keeping it for herself. She's gonna be like, it's called the Bobby Lee cat.
Honestly, that's not so far from the truth. Only because it's like every time I've ever needed financial help, it's always because there's a dog in need or some cat that needs a new leg and fucking wheelchairs. You have it here. That is true. You're not wrong there.
Yeah.
All right, let's do unhelpful advice after I pee.
Oh, okay. You're going to pee?
You wait for like 1 minute?
Where am I going to go? Yeah.
It's Tiger Belly.
That's the only person I care about.
Yeah.
For this.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
You know, so now I'm dealing with this. Like,
well, would
she
be open to just doing like a court wedding or like City Hall?
Her mom is all into it. She wants her to have like
a big wedding.
Yeah.
Big family.
And then now I'm dealing with this thing of like who to invite and who to not invite. So now I'm going down the list. I'm like, okay, here's the comics I would want to invite. And then I go, well, I have to invite.
Is Bobby on the list?
Yeah, Bobby's on the list.
You hear that? You're on his wedding list.
I have a short list.
It's a short list with me on it?
I'm saying if yes. Okay, you know what I mean? And that's only because Andrew's ahead of you, so I have to invite it. You know, if you, oh my God. You know what I mean? You
who's
can't
on
invite
list?
One of the bad
who's
friends.
On the list? Who's on the list?
It's like Chris, you know, Craig Robinson, Leonard, and Malcolm Barrett. They're like really close friends of mine. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And then it's like, then you start getting down the line of like, you know, I got to invite Steve Simone. He's a good buddy of mine.
I love Steve Simone.
Like, you know what I mean? Then it's like Jeremiah, you know? It's like,
love him.
You know, and then it's like, I invite you, I got to invite Steve. Not that he's on the list anyway, but I'm just saying that you start to go, is it the
but are those
one?
All those people ahead of me on the list?
No, Bobby.
Let's do the unhelpful advice. Go ahead.
Unhelpful
sensitive.
Advice.
With sensitive boy.
Unhelpful advice with Bobby, Kalila, and Eric Griffin.
Hi, Tiger Belly. I'm a guy who just turned 40 this year, and I've been thinking more and more of my death, whenever it should happen. It's not the process of dying that worries me as much as the concept of death itself. I mean, leaving my wife and daughter behind one day makes me extremely sad. But what really scares the hell out of me is the concept of eternal nothingness and non-existence. This thought was actually started making me depressed. Every time I think about it, I stop enjoying what I'm doing and I can't concentrate because I'm like, what's the point of anything?
Yeah, I
you're such a happy-go-lucky, don't give a fuck type of person who I'd love watching all these years.
That's not true. whatever he's asking now is stuff I think about every other day.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're thinking about the past, like it's that old saying, when you have one foot in the past, one foot in the future, you're pissing on today. You know? Yeah, have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Who's that one?
Yeah, today.
Suffering belongs in the
today,
past. And
today
the
is a gift. That's why they call it a present.
Right. So, yeah, that's
there we another, go.
Yeah, right. So,
there we go.
This is it.
Kung Fu Panda.
So, what I do when I think of those things, right, is I literally touch the things around me and I become hyper, visually, I become hyper sensitive where I'll look and see the details and things that I'm seeing. And I concentrate on my breathing, right? And I try to ground myself in now, right? And I think that that has helped me the most. But let me tell you something. You're not alone. I mean, the older I get, I don't think that if I die, I'm going to open my eyes. I'm going to be in green pastures. And I want to be riding Gobi, my dog. No, but I do have this thing where I open my eyes in a green pasture, rolling hills, and this gigantic version of my animals are licking me awake.
Aww, that's
right?
Cute.
Julio and all the dogs, and I wake up, but they're huge, where I can ride them, right? And they have little saddles.
Well, at that point, they'll eat you.
No, they know me. They know what. We're in heaven, dude. We're not. Right? So then I get
maybe
up.
Maybe that's their heaven. Maybe you're in a dog heaven.
Yeah. But I get on one of the dogs, and I go, let's find Kalila. So we ride. And they know where you
she's
are.
She's off fucking like two
she's
actors.
She's with Cillian Murphy. Yeah.
Murphy.
She's with Cillian Murphy, Tom Hardy. Cillian.
Getting double teamed.
And Edgar Ramirez, and they're on a lily pad in a pond. And they're doing it four away.
She's a mermaid.
Right? But the dogs don't want to go into the fucking pond because they don't like the water. So I'm out there, barking, right? And I'm going, come on, baby, stop fucking there. Let's go. And you're not even paying attention to me.
How's that heaven?
Yeah. What's the good part here?
Why is this so sad?
It's good for me.
Yeah,
it's
great for her.
For her heaven.
You're kept away.
Yeah. But then I hear a whistle, right?
Uh-huh.
And I go, what's the whistle? I look on the hill, and the whistle's coming from...
Steve Buscemi?
No.
Oh, from your anus, from his X-Men power.
Yeah. No, I hear a little whistle from, like, you know, a supermodel. Her vagina.
Yeah.
Right? So then I could go, come on, Gobi, let's go get her. Uh-huh. We go up there.
One of the things...
the ending of that.
Hallway, Bobby. Well, I understand, like he's saying, like I really do understand. I feel like I've lived a full life already, and now I'm starting a new life. So it was part of my motivation for like losing weight and trying to be healthier. Because I'm thinking like, damn, I have to like now start another, you know, 30, 40 years and like try to have kids and all this kind of thing. And I'm like already an old ass man. So I was like, so I understand that feeling of, but like that guy's 40. I'm older than that guy. So I can't
How old are you
thinking
now?
Like that. I'm 49. I can't be thinking like that.
We're the same age.
Yeah, I can't. I have to think that I'm going to be the best version of myself moving forward, not just for myself, but for my girl and for like whatever our future is going to be. So this guy needs to, he's focusing on the wrong shit.
I do think it sounds like because I've had something very similar. Even when I was a teenager, I was very obsessive about death, what it meant, you know, what it would feel like. But I was told in therapy that that's intrusive. Those are intrusive thoughts, especially if it takes up a lot of your day to day. If it changes your mood every day, you need to see a therapist and work on.
I think that's a good
intrusive advice. Thoughts. Not taking over your life.
Word. I second that. I feel like therapy is very important. It doesn't help you solve problems. Therapy helps you pinpoint why things are happening and the causes and how you can like start to have good coping mechanisms for them. So I really said, because this guy, that was a very detailed question from a brain that seems to be like obsessing about something that he shouldn't.
Mm. Right.
I also want to add this thing, which was, it made me feel better. So when I was in Hungary, I was hanging out with Jamie Lee Curtis a lot, and I asked her that question about death, and she goes, "That's interesting you asked me, because the reason why I'm so active right now in business," because she's got like a bunch of shows she's developing. She's that Halloween movie that she produced. Mm-hmm. She's like doing a bunch of fucking shit, right? She's busier than she's ever been in her whole career, because she goes, "I'm in my 60s, and I'm, even my husband, Christopher Guest, is like, what the fuck, you're like a workhorse," because she's like, it's just motivating me to really just do it all now,
yeah.
Which made me feel like, oh, this, in my 60s, I feel like I'm going to be the same, you know what I mean? Be more motivated to like do everything. And I think I'm going to be like that for the rest of my life. Even in my 80s, I'm going to try to figure out, like my mom's doing that. My mom reads books and she wants to learn about things because she just wants to like get it all in before.
Yeah, my mom was doing that too before this dementia just, you know, took over. She was like trying to learn Spanish.
That's right. She lived in Spain.
Yeah. She was like trying to like, you know, so she had these like, you know, Rosetta Stone type stuff that she was trying to like do that. So I get it. I think when you get in a certain age, you go, damn it, I wish I would have learned piano. So let me do that now. Yeah. All that stuff.
But one thing that I found interesting about what he said, though, has been the reason why I've been able to reframe my whole feelings regarding death, is that he says everything is just so meaningless. And you're not wrong. The reason, when I was able to kind of reframe it as, you're right, when we die, it's really all over. It took the pressure off of me in terms of being really self-critical, hanging on to bad things that happen in my life. None of it fucking matters. It really doesn't matter. So be free. Just enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly.
This is like, no, you're absolutely right. It all doesn't matter. So just be the most free version of yourself.
It's actually almost like contradictory what he's saying. You know, it's like, I'm worried about stuff that doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, then if it doesn't matter, then don't make it matter and just enjoy your life.
There's this one TikTok that I swear to you, I didn't think TikTok could change my life, but it has. And there was a woman talking about what's the best advice you've ever gotten. And she was speaking, she asked a woman who was 107 years old. She's like, how did you make it to this age? And the lady said, you let things pass through you. If it gets stuck, you get sick. And I'm like, that makes sense. Just whatever it is, a pain, a joy, in between, you just let it all pass through you.
What's the guy that in Hawaii, he just died, but he's a philosopher.
Ram Dass.
Ram Dass said, death is like taking off a tight shoe. Right?
Oh, shit.
What?
That's very, what imagery that is.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about when I have a tight shoe on.
Yeah.
And how that makes me feel.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, so that makes me think like, you know, loosen up these laces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Like, I feel like a death is going to be like.
You should talk to my stepdad. He gets high every fucking day of his life. And you ask him, Raj, are you scared of dying? He's like, why? He just has no fear. He's like, take me now. Don't give a shit. He has like ultimate joy in his heart. And I feel like I really, like, he's a role model for that. But Ram Dass said something else. He said he would seek the experience of watching people die because there was no more like, he was like, he was in the face of truth. And what is it, like pure, like honest,
yeah, unadulterated. My great aunt, when she died, she called for my mom and I.
Yeah.
And we were there on her deathbed. You know, and she was talking to me, and I was just like, just the way she was, just the rawness of her being like, you know, the family's got to get back together. And, and you know, like, it was, you know, I was just like, damn, that she just died.
Dang.
You know. Anyway, thanks for listening. <It's> fucking.
Holly Bob's back.
Holly.
Anyway. anywho.
That's going to be the name of this episode, right? Hallway Bobby.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, real nice. Thanks for coming in.
That's you only going to do the one?
Really nice. Love you. Uh-huh. Love everyone in the room.
For the record, I do love you a whole lot. And I I am so sorry about if anyone came after you about the lingerie thing. You guys, Eric and I are friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't understand the rapport.
Yeah. I just was taken out of context. Yeah. That's all.
And the final thing, the final thing is I want to say is that... if you want good luck in your life and love in your life.
No.
Yeah.
No. What do you say? What are you going to say first?
What do you, I'm curious. You can spit it out.
Let me fucking.
I know.
Dude, I'm the guy. Yes, sir. You're the producer of the show.
Unfollow George.
Yeah, no, if you want good luck in your life and love in your life, right? And great prosperity and money and wealth. And good fortune.
Listen
right?
to Riffin' with Griffin.
Listen to Riffin' with Griffin, right? And also unfollow George Kimmel on Instagram and follow Andreas.
Andres.
Baby. Andres on Instagram.
Bobby is funny. And he's back to the wall. Follow me and he'll get funnier. It'll increase his power.
Then no one's listening to you. But anyway, and so namaste to you. Thank you so
I've
much.
I've never seen him this passionate.
I know.
Like, you're really getting to him.
Oh, the last. Oh, you see, we'll see what happens to him. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. Oh, by the way, 5-time guest, Eric Griffin.
Oh wow.
The record yet?
I think it
is. Are you mad? Are you still going to get
it? It might be. I think so.
You've done it every single year except 2020.